Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And thanks to the help you get from ASC certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive on beautiful Grand Avenue in St. Paul. We'll keep it running for you. If you need to bring in your vehicle to your favorite dealer, your favorite shop for service, but you want to know what the heck is wrong with this thing, Dan Burns will give you some idea. And as good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Danny. How are you?
I'm quite well. Thanks for asking. I hope you are too, and all the folks at Lloyd's Automotive. Busy week, well, I presume.
You just have to look out the window, and it makes life just a little bit better as the sun is coming up and the sky is bluebird. It's just beautiful out.
Yeah, starting to see the lawn again in the neighborhood. That's always good. If you do have a car care question, don't wait, because Dan is with us for, well, till about 7:45 or so. So don't wait. If you want to call in your question or send a text, it's the same number, 651-989-9226. In fact, somebody sent a text already. You and I did a show, one of the shows many, many years ago, about high-mileage cars and people. We had no way of verifying it. People would be calling up. We didn't have texts at that time, calling up saying, I had, 3 million miles, whatever. It was high mileage. But a texter wants to know, Dan Burns, in your career, what is the highest mileage car you've ever worked on? I don't even know if you remember that. You worked on a few of them.
I don't know if I remember that. You know, it used to be that when a car got over 100,000 miles, that was unusual. Now, that's very common. In fact, they all go more miles than that. And when they get to be over 200,000 miles, it causes me to pause and take notice. And, at that point, you have to kind of look at the whole vehicle and decide if it makes sense to do some repairs and stuff, because it's getting a little long in the tooth, as they say, at 200,000 miles. But it's also gotten more common for me to see 300,000 miles.
Wow.
And so, oftentimes at 300,000 miles, they're still just fine. And so I don't remember seeing one over 300. I mean, I'm sure I have, but I don't remember working on one that's got more than 400,000 miles. Certainly I've done one that's more than 300,000 miles. And that's, like I say, getting to be more common now. Still pretty unusual, but getting to be more common. You know, if you drive 15 or 20,000 miles a year, which is, plenty, I don't know what the average is, but it's probably 15,000 miles or something. It takes a long time to get to 300,000 or 400,000 miles. So
yeah.
To get to that many miles, you almost have to have a driving job where the car's on the road a lot. But I think for the average driver to get their vehicle to 300,000 miles, the car's just gotten so old by then that that other things, age is getting to an
old. And rust.
And rust, yeah, in Minnesota, yeah. That sure happens.
Yeah. 651-989-9226 is the phone number and the text number if you have any kind of a car care question. Tony and I were talking, my son Tony, whom you know, we were talking about the change in temperature. And he said, on automobiles, where's the thermometer? And I said, let's ask Dan on Saturday. it's not really a thermometer, is it?
It is a thermometer, and it is. You mean the one that you see that where it's giving you the ambient temperature outside?
Yes, that's correct.
That's what you're wondering. So it's reading the outside temperature on the dash, and where it is, Denny, is out in front of the radiator. You know, on in the front of the car, so that it's protected from all of the heat of the engine and all that sort of stuff. So as you get driving down the road, the wind, the actual wind temperature blows across it, because as we've talked about before, wind chill or the wind doesn't actually affect the overall temperature. It just affects how quickly it changes. But so it's out in front of the vehicle, and it reads, and they're amazingly accurate, I find. You know, have digital thermometers have gotten very, very good and very, very accurate. And so they read accurately inside the car, and we service them from time to time. Okay. Accurate. And so they read accurately inside the car, and we service them from time to time.
Oh, you do?
Everybody wants their thermostat or their thermometer working so they know the temperature is outside.
Yeah, you're right, though. I find it really accurate when I'm hearing the temp given on CCO, or I'm checking with the National Weather Service, and I thought, by golly, that's right on the money. So, is that typical? Do most manufacturers put them there where you said?
Yes. Well, when you think of it, it's kind of the only, it needs to be in the wind.
Yeah.
It can't be under the hood anywhere. It can't be in the fender well anywhere, because all of that is affected by road temperature and things. So it needs to be out in the wind to get an accurate reading. And so that's the best place to put it.
All right. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break, and we've already got some text messages. If you want to call in your car care question, by all means, keep in mind Dan will be with us only for about another half hour. So call it in or text it in, any kind of car care question you may have. 651-989-9226. We'll be back in a minute. I can tell you that we're going to be near 50 today. Right now, a few clouds. Our Twin City temperature reading 29 degrees. Good morning, and welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here with ASE certified technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Where exactly in St. Paul are you guys located?
Well, thanks for asking, Denny. We are at 982 Grand Avenue, which is right between Lexington and Victoria. We're near the Lexington restaurant and Kowalski's here on Grand. You can find us on the web at lloydsautomotive.net, L-L-O-Y-D-S, lloydsautomotive.net, or give us a call as soon as this morning. Jim will be here, 651-228-1316.
And I know every so often we get a question, is or was there really a Mr. Lloyd? And there was.
There was. Howard Lloyd started the business in 1946.
Wow.
And I'm actually the third owner of the business. So I've owned Lloyd's Automotive since 1990. So
wow.
I'm getting a little long in the tooth, Denny.
No, you're not. not at all. Well, we'll get you that phone number of Lloyd's before Dan leaves us today. Texters, yes, 651-989-9226. That's the same number for a phone call, too, if you'd like to chat with Dan. Texter says, should both air filters be checked during oil changes, or how often should they be changed? I presume they mean the engine air filter and the cabin filter. Would that be what they're talking about?
You know, we check them if it's possible and practical, but it's not always. Sometimes an air filter, and especially a cabin filter, are just too complicated to get after and look at. So in that case, we do it on mileage interval, and we keep track of how long the filters have been in there. The manufacturer recommends changing filters at a certain mileage. So we check them if we can, but if it's too difficult to check, then we just trust the mileage and change them when the manufacturer recommends that we change them.
Yeah, I found that some vehicles are kind of nasty, real difficult, and on others are very easy, but that's that depends on the manufacturer. Dexter was referring to our high mileage talk. And like you said, it takes a lot of driving to put on 300,000 miles or so. But this Dexter says, when you live in a rural area like I do, you can put on a lot of miles in a car. Like today, I need to go to a big box store in Rice Lake. It's a 140-mile round trip. So,
yeah, isn't that true, Denny? And you know, they just don't offer all of the services that you need in the town that you live in. And so you end up traveling from town to town. That's true. You can crank up a lot of miles in a hurry if you live in a rural area. That's certainly true.
For sure. Dexter says this, and I remember doing this when I was mighty young. Years ago, we used to put cardboard in front of our radiators in very cold weather. Will this help with today's cars?
Don't do that. No, don't do that. The car is, but you used to do that because your thermostat wasn't working properly, and it was a poor man's thermostat. You'd put some cardboard in front of the radiator, which would block the airflow and warm the engine up warmer, like it's supposed, or to make it more comfortable in the car. The trouble with that, of course, is that it's impossible to manage, and you can't have the temperature be constant. To answer the question literally, yes, that would work. That would warm the engine up, warmer. But there's systems on the vehicle that automate that process for you. The cooling fans on most cars now are electric, and the thermostats are fancy and dependable. And so trust your thermostat and trust, your vehicle. If your vehicle is not getting, if you're not getting good enough heat in the car, something's wrong with the vehicle causing that to happen. And the other thing that's happening is if the vehicle's running cold like that, you're getting poor gas mileage, and there are other concerns as well. So if you're not getting good heat in your car, go get the car fixed. Don't put cardboard in front of the radiator.
Yes. I remember those years. Texter says, I have not driven my 2001 Jeep Compass for a year. The battery needs a charge once in a while, so I bought a new battery. What else should I do for maintenance since it has not been driven in that period
well,
of time?
Well, if you haven't driven it for a year, I think you need to bring it into your shop and get an oil change and tell them that you haven't driven it for a year and ask them to do a good checkup on it. And just be sure that everything is fine, that all the fluids are full, and that all of the steering and suspension and brakes and all that sort of stuff are good. Over a year, one thing that can happen is your brake rotors can get significantly rusty. And if that's the case, you need to know that and take care of that too. So, if it's been a year, it needs some attention, and you need to do that.
Very good. We need to take a quick break, and we're going to look at that warm-up forecast coming along in a moment or two. Keep in mind, if you have any kind of a car care question, Dan will be with us for about another 15 minutes or so. So send us a text or give us a call, 651-989-9226. We'll take this break, look at the forecast, and be back with more Car Care Show on News Talk 830. This is WCCO. Hey, good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. Denny Long here, along with ASC Certified Technician Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Dan, bunch of text messages, and what we don't get to today, let's open up the show next week with, just so we don't shorten these folks' chances. Here's one. It says, with the oil change sensor in the newer vehicles, how low percent-wise do you recommend before the oil should be changed? With the older vehicles, it seemed like they went by mileage.
Yeah, it still kind of does. That's certainly one of the factors in there is mileage. But I think the manufacturer, I've seen some of the stickers, and I think they say when it gets down to 15%, it's time to change the oil. And people ask me, well, should I do it by that, or should I do it by mileage, like we're used to doing it? You know, we still put a sticker on the window, and both are fine. I think when mine gets down to 15%, I get a little uncomfortable, so I change my oil before that. But if you want to, you know, do it exactly the way the manufacturer recommends, I think that's just fine.
Yeah, very good. This texter says, good morning. He or she wants to know, have you had a lot of blown out tires this year? Texter says, I just had one, had a huge slash in it, and my tires, they thought were still in pretty good shape. Are you seeing any?
You know, Danny, yeah, we just sent I think we did three bent wheels this week from pothole stuff, and we've seen a couple of tires that are damaged, destroyed by potholes. So I think we're just getting into that season, and but yes, it's starting to ramp up, and so I would caution people, be aware of potholes. If you see one coming in the road, slow down. Because at a slower speed, you're going to handle it better than at a fast speed. And avoid it if you can do so safely. Do not swerve into another lane and get into an auto wreck to save a pothole. But try and avoid it if you can.
Yeah, good advice. This listener wants to know, does a radiator fan push or pull the air?
It pulls the air. It pulls the air in the direction that the vehicle is going. In other words, you know, because the vehicle is going forward, and the fact that the vehicle is going forward will cause air to flow. It does not fight that air. It works right with that air and pulls it through the radiator that way.
Yeah, makes sense. This texter says this, we've driven our 2005 LeSabre on two separate occasions where we drive 2 hours at 20 to 25 miles an hour, country roads. After an hour or so, it shifts hard. When we go road speed, it still shifts hard. The next day, everything seems normal again. What's going on there?
Well, I don't know what's going on there, but because it's taking that long for it to act up, I think what I would recommend is have the fluid and the filter changed and see if that helps. And it might. If the fluid's getting cruddy and if the filter's getting partially plugged, that's exactly the type of situation where you're going to have trouble, where you drive it like that for a long period of time. So I would have the fluid changed. See what the service technician finds in the oil pan, or in the transmission pan. That's a telling sign for us when we pull a pan down to see what's in the bottom of the pan, what kind of debris is there. If it's full of bushing material and metal and all that sort of stuff, then you know that the life of your transmission is short.
I know we've received calls or text messages, Dan, about checking transmission fluid or changing it. Or in the newer vehicles, I know you've mentioned it from time to time, some of these things are not are kind of permanent, are they not, fluid-wise?
Yeah, you know, they don't put dipsticks in a lot of the transmissions anymore, so you can't check them that way. And people say, well, what do I do? And I say, well, you just have to trust your lights. You have to trust that if the transmission is low on fluid, it's going to get overheated. And if it gets overheated, it's going to warn you about that. So you have to trust your lights. I wouldn't say most, but some of the transmission fluids now are lifetime, where the manufacturer does not recommend changing them. Many still are serviceable, though. So pay attention to that and do that according to what your manufacturer recommends.
I think we have time for a phone call. Let us go to Golden Valley. Joanne is there. Joanne, thanks for waiting. What's your question for Dan?
This is kind of an odd one. When I filled the car a few nights ago, And when I went to restart it, it flooded. And somebody nearby said to me, "Well, I could tell it's not, you know, your engine is, just let it sit for a few minutes, it flooded." And that's what happened. I waited a few minutes, and then it started. And then I have filled it since. I mean, just maybe even, I kind of keep it topped off, and because my car sits outside. And it was a couple times I filled it, nothing happened, and then it happened again. After putting in about $7 worth of gas, I topped it off, and I went to start it, and I could tell it flooded again. And I waited a few minutes, and then it started, and it starts all, it's fine. Everything's, it's starting right away. My car sits outside, and I can't figure.
What do you think, Dan? We've got about a minute.
Let me just ask you a question. Has the check engine been on?
Pardon?
Has the check engine light been on the vehicle?
He checked it, and they said it wasn't anything.
Yeah, okay.
I did have someone check it, yeah.
That is what's causing the trouble that you're having, the fact that the check engine light is on, because when you're filling the car with gas, there's certain valves on the car that are supposed to close to keep gas vapors from getting up into the engine and flooding it, just like you're describing. And on your car, one of those valves isn't closing properly when you shut the car off to put fuel in. And so that's why it's flooding. And so if you deal with the check engine light, and what they're saying with the check engine light, you don't have to deal with it in that it's not going to cause a running problem. And that's true. But if you deal with the check engine light, that will take care of what's causing the flooding problem when you're putting fuel in. What the reason that it's doing it is just what you're describing, is fuel is leaking. Fuel vapors are leaking from the tank up into the engine while you're putting fuel in. And when that happens, of course, the vehicle is flooded.
All right. We are out of time, Dan. I'm going to give you a call this week. I got a message from a longtime customer of yours and a friend of mine. So we'll pass these messages along in a couple of days or so. So I'll give you a shout. In the meantime, what's your phone number there at Lloyd's?
Give us a call today, 651-228-1316.
All right, Mr. Long in the Tooth of the Tooth. We will talk to you next Saturday. What do you say?
Thanks, Denny Long. I'll look forward to it.
Okay, good deal. Dan Burns from Lloyd's Automotive. Jack Farrell's next Wine Chat here on 830 WCCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.